The date was in the 80s, 60s, and there's only 30 or so years previous to 60 AD that our Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified. He'd been crucified outside the city of Jerusalem. We realize 3 days later, Jesus Christ was no longer found in the grave. He had risen, and he appeared to his followers. And some 40 days later, Jesus ascended to heaven, and he took his place at the Father's right hand. Not too long after this, on the day of Pentecost, God sent his Holy Spirit to indwell his followers, to empower them for a bold witness. It was on that day, the day of Pentecost, that the church was formed. And in the days and the months to follow, thousands upon thousands of people were gloriously saved. And with so many people getting saved, it didn't take very long before people started to take notice. And very soon, opposition mounted against this young church. Eventually, we find that the first Christian was killed. His name was Stephen. And with Stephen's death, the church scattered from Jerusalem. And as they were scattered from Jerusalem, they faithfully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that they encountered. As we think about the early church, there's an exciting chapter of the early church that opened with the salvation of a young man named Saul. Saul had been a violent persecutor of the church, but by God's grace, Saul was saved from one who hated Jesus to one who was living for him. And once saved, Saul, who later became Paul, who became known as Paul later on, he devoted his life to serving Jesus Christ, to proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first, then also to the Gentile. Paul eventually went on several what we'd call missionary journeys. He took journeys throughout the Roman Empire proclaiming Jesus Christ, who he is and what he had done. And one of the places that Paul had went, and we realize there are many different cities, many provinces of the Roman Empire that Paul went to, but one of the places that he went to preach Jesus was an island called Crete. And he didn't come to this island alone. There were other believers with him. And as they were in that island of Crete, they proclaimed Jesus Christ, and many people got saved. And one of the men that accompanied Paul as he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ was a man named Titus. The time came eventually for Paul to leave Crete. And Paul asked Titus to stay on this island of Crete because the believers there in Crete were still young. The church was not well established. And Paul left Titus behind to strengthen the believers spiritually, to disciple them, to stabilize the church. And Titus willingly accepted this mission to stay behind at Crete and to build up the church, to put things in order. And it was sometime after Paul left and Titus was there on the island of Crete ministering and building up the church that a letter came to him. A letter was delivered to him from no doubt another believer. And this letter was from Paul. And in this letter, Paul encouraged him and told him many of the things that he needed to know as he ministered there with the young believers on the island of Crete. Now, can you imagine Titus? I don't know if there's any other spiritual leaders with him there on the island of Crete, but can you imagine how excited Titus must have been whenever he received this letter from the Apostle Paul? And as that letter was read for him to hear and maybe others to hear as well, are you excited to hear this morning what Paul the Apostle wrote to Titus? If you want to know what Paul wrote to Titus as he was there on that island of Crete, ministering to the young believers on that island, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of Titus. And if you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1369. But we can imagine Titus' excitement as he received this letter from the Apostle Paul, and then as he read through it, and he realized these are some things that he needs to do, some things that he needs to be aware of as he ministers there on the island of Crete. And so Titus, it comes directly after the epistles of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, the epistles written to Timothy, and is right before Philemon and Hebrews. We'll read through the letter, and then we're going to learn more about this man Titus. And so Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, this is what Paul wrote to this spiritual leader on the island of Crete. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing incorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me at Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. And in the weeks to come, we're going to delve into more detail in these verses in this book of Titus and see what Paul communicated to this young man who was ministering on that island of Crete. Yes, This letter was written many years ago. You think of A.D. 60, sometime in that decade, Paul wrote this letter to a young man named Titus. We're now living in 2019 in the United States. Things have changed quite a lot, but yet a lot of things have not changed. And the things that Paul wrote to Titus, many of them we can learn from. Actually, we can learn from all of them, but many applications to our lives as we study this book of Titus in the weeks ahead. But as we delve into this letter, as we take time to learn more about the recipient of the letter, Titus, we want to ask of ourselves the questions, well, who was this man? What was he like? What can we learn from him? This morning, do you think we have anything to learn from Titus? I think we have a lot to learn from Titus, not only from the letter that was written to him, but also in other scripture passages, we find out quite a lot about this man named Titus. And this morning, we're going to look at those passages, and we're going to learn from Titus. We can identify with him. We can follow his good example. So what can we learn from Titus? First of all, we learn that Titus shared a common bond with Paul. Titus was Paul's brother in Christ. And this morning, we need to realize that we too are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a spiritual brother with Titus and with Paul also. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll actually read verses 12 and 13. What can we learn about Titus? We realize that he is Paul's brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll spend a fair amount of time in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and this is what we read in verses 12 and 13. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now we could delve into all the historical details of this passage in these two verses, but what we want to take special note of this morning is the fact that Paul called Titus his brother. Now, as we look at the overall context of Scripture, we realize that Titus was not Paul's physical brother by lineage. Okay, so they weren't part of the same physical family. Paul was a Jew by birth. Titus was a Gentile by birth. So there wasn't a blood connection between Paul and Titus. We realize that. We could go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 3. We realize Titus was an uncircumcised Greek. Paul was a circumcised Jew. Quite a bit of difference there when it comes to lineage and nationality and all of those things. But yet Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, Titus is my brother. Well, how are they brothers? We know the answer. They're not physically brothers, but they are spiritually brothers, aren't they? They're believers in Christ. They're children of God. They're adopted sons into God's family. So Paul and Titus, they were from completely different backgrounds, different nationalities, but still they are brothers in Christ. They are children of God. They're adopted into God's family. What Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 concerning the believers in Galatia was true also of Titus and himself. We read this in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. Paul says to the Galatians, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Then he says in verse 28, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." How are they descendants of Abraham? Not all of them are descendants physically from Abraham, but they all are descended in that they are men and women of faith, just as Abraham was a man of faith. So the Galatians, they are believers in Jesus Christ. They are brothers and sisters with Paul, even though Paul was a Jew. The same was true of Titus and Paul. Yes, Titus is a Greek, Paul was a Jew, but they are brothers in Christ. You see, between Titus and Paul, there was a bond that was closer than any blood relationship. It was that bond in Christ. Through faith, Paul could call Titus his brother. Now, as we look around us, around this room, around those who are here this morning, we realize that we have trusted in Christ, and I believe all of us here have trusted in Jesus Christ, we can call one another brothers and sisters. You know, we may not be part of the same family, although we have some here that are part of the same physical family, and that's a great relationship, but even more precious than that physical bond is the spiritual bond that we have in Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we can call one another You know, I can say Brother Cleve, you know, and there are some churches that do that on a regular basis. We don't necessarily do that, but we realize there is a bond between us. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a close bond, and Paul said to Titus, you're my brother. And we today can say to one another, you're my brother, you're my sister. We are together in Christ. We're part of the same family. So far we've learned that Titus was Paul's brother, spiritually speaking. Now let's consider how Paul had a partner in Titus. Titus is one who partnered with Paul as a faithful co-worker. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and this is what we read in verse 23. This is what Paul says to the Corinthians regarding Titus. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Paul says concerning Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. We consider Paul. Paul is the one who wrote the letter to the Corinthians. He's the one that wrote the letter to Titus. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And Christ had told him, you're going to be going to the far reaches of the Roman Empire. He didn't use those words exactly, but Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And as we read through the book of Acts, we realize Paul usually didn't go alone to an area. He had people that were right along with him, co-workers, his partners in the ministry. Very seldom do we find Paul alone. Yeah, there was that time in Athens where he was all alone, but not very often was he alone in the work of the ministry. Almost always, Paul was accompanied by one or more men, surrounded by people who shared in his ministry, who walked side by side with him. Among those who were Paul's partners in the ministry, who were his fellow workers, was Titus. We read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 23, Titus is called his co-worker, his fellow helper, his partner in the ministry. We could go to Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We realize Titus went hand in hand with Paul during some of his trips, during some of his ministry obligations. We read this in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by a revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. So here we find Barnabas and Paul and Titus going to Jerusalem. So Titus was faithful in ministering with Paul in person. But there are other times too, whenever Paul and Titus, they were separated, but they still could be called fellow workers, partners in the ministry. There are times when Paul sent Titus on a mission. We have in 2 Corinthians, in the background here in 2 Corinthians, we have Paul exhorting the Corinthians to gather up a collection to help the Jerusalem saints who are struggling financially. And Paul didn't go there personally to exhort them in this case. Titus is one who went in Paul's name, basically, to encourage the Corinthian believers with regard to this financial gift to help the Jerusalem believers. We read in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 6 and 7, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Paul encouraged Titus to go to the Corinthian believers, and Titus went, and he encouraged the Corinthians to give this gift to the Jerusalem saints. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 that Titus went to Dalmatia, an area in the Roman Empire, and it doesn't give us details, but no doubt Titus went to Dalmatia to do the work of the Lord as Paul's partner, as his co-worker. And even as Paul was writing the letter to Titus when he was in Crete, why was Titus in Crete? Paul had left him there to encourage the believers, to build up the church, to appoint leaders over the church. Yes, they were separated geographically, but they were one in heart, weren't they? They were working together in the same ministry. Titus was Paul's partner. He was his co-worker in the ministry. They were working for the same cause. They were serving the same master, Jesus Christ. So Paul could call Titus my partner in the ministry, my co-worker. Well, we today, as we look at one another here this morning, we can call one another partners in the ministry. We can call one another co-workers because we are serving the same master, aren't we? Jesus Christ. We're together in a common cause. Jesus Christ is our master and we're serving him. So far we've learned about Titus. Titus is Paul's brother. Titus is Paul's partner and co-worker. As we continue to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we see that Titus was one who genuinely cared for his fellow believers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 16 and 17. This is what we read in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. Now, Paul loved the Corinthians. He had a desire to see in the people of Corinth, the believers there. He desired God to be at work in them and for them to become Christ-like and to live for Jesus with all of their hearts. And Paul desired the Corinthians to put this gift together to help the Jerusalem saints that are struggling financially. Now, Paul didn't go personally to encourage the Corinthians, but Titus did go. And Titus didn't go just because Paul said, you need to go to Corinth and go and help the Corinthians in this matter. No, Titus had a desire of his own heart to go and help the Corinthians. Paul says of Titus that God put the same earnest care into his heart. Yes, he accepted the exhortation, but he went unto you of his own accord. So Paul went to Corinth not just because he had to, not just because Paul told him, you go to Corinth. No, Titus had a desire for the Corinthians' growth. He wanted to help them. He genuinely cared for them, and that's why he visited them. He was concerned for the Corinthians' growth, for their Christ-likeness. Now, we can learn from Titus in this regard, can't we? Titus loved the Corinthians, and that's why he went there, to help encourage them to grow spiritually. We also should be concerned for one another, to be genuinely caring for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We should make the effort to encourage and to disciple. We can ask the question of ourselves, how much do we really care for the people of Norwoodville Baptist Church, our fellow believers? How much do we really care? Can it be said of us that we genuinely care for one another, that we pray regularly for one another, that it's our desire to come alongside each one here, or at least various ones here in this assembly, and to help one another grow and mature in Christ? Are we encouraging one another to a life of obedience? See, if we genuinely care for one another, we're going to be doing these things, aren't we? Titus cared for the Corinthians, and he went there of his own accord. He cared for them. He wanted to help them grow spiritually. We should be caring for one another as well and helping one another grow spiritually. So far we've learned about Titus. He was Paul's brother in Christ. He was Paul's partner and co-worker in the work of the ministry. We learned that Titus genuinely cared about his fellow believers. Now as we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, we find that Titus mirrored Paul in Paul's convictions and actions. Look there at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. And this is what Paul says concerning Titus. I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? So here's Paul sending Titus to Corinth. And as Titus went to Corinth, Titus didn't go because he had ulterior motives. He didn't go because he had selfishness or greed, because he wanted to profit through this endeavor. No, Titus didn't have ungodly motivations for going to Corinth. He wasn't seeking his own profit or his own welfare. Rather, he went to Corinth because he cared and loved for the Corinthians. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he asked the Corinthians, do Titus and I have the same spirit? Do we walk in the same steps? And the answer could be given by the Corinthians, yes, both you and Titus walk hand in hand. You walk down the same path. Both you and Titus have the same spirit. Paul and Titus were aligned together. So you look at Paul, and you look at Titus, and they basically were mirror images. Now, yes, they had different personalities. They looked different physically. You know, they were different people, but yet they had the same heart for the Lord. They had the same obedient commitment to Jesus Christ. They had the same passions and goals. They were on the same page. They were united in their purpose and in their actions. So Titus mirrored Paul in his convictions and actions. And that's a good thing, right? Because Paul was mirroring his actions as he followed Jesus Christ. So Jesus showed a good example to Paul, and Paul followed that example, and Titus was following Paul's example. And that's why they're so alike. That's why Paul could say, you know, aren't we on the same page? Don't we have the same spirit? Aren't we walking in the same steps? Because both of them were committed to living for Jesus Christ. Paul and Titus were united in their spiritual commitment. Could it be said of us here this morning that we have the same spirit, that we walk in the same steps? When other people see us, whether they're believers or whether they're not believers, can they see among us, among this group of believers here, can they see a common loyalty, a common commitment to Jesus Christ? That's the way it should be. We should have that common bond in Christ displayed in our actions, our convictions, our obedience. Many years ago, Paul wrote a letter to a man named Titus. We've learned quite a bit about him so far. He's Paul's spiritual brother. He's Paul's co-worker and partner in the ministry. We find that Titus genuinely cared about his fellow believers. Titus was following Paul in his convictions and actions. Now let's consider how Titus both gave and received spiritual blessings. As he worked with his fellow believers, he gave spiritual blessings and he received spiritual blessings. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We go back a few chapters. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 6 and 7. And here Paul says, "Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more." So there was a time when Titus and Paul reunited, and Paul was very eager to see Titus. And as Titus came, Paul could see Titus was doing well, and he was joyful spiritually, but also Titus had a message for Paul, and Titus said, the Corinthians are doing well. They're doing quite well spiritually because they responded positively to the letter that you sent them. They are repenting in a godly manner. They have a godly sorrow. And so Titus was refreshed by the Corinthians because the Corinthians were living like Christ in many of their responses and their actions. As Titus shared this news with Paul, Paul was encouraged and refreshed. So Titus himself received blessings as he ministered and worked alongside the Corinthians. Titus also was a source of blessing to men like Paul and his co-workers as he shared how God was at work in the Corinthian church. What a blessing it was for Titus to give and receive spiritual blessings. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13, "Therefore we are comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more we joyed for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." Titus was refreshed by the Corinthians, and Titus in turn was able to refresh Paul because he shared how God was at work. So Titus was a blessing to others, and he himself received blessings from fellow believers. And the same should be said of us, right? As we interact with one another as believers in Christ, we can receive many blessings, but also we should be giving many blessings, shouldn't we? Titus, he is a man of God. Titus, a man who loved the Lord, who lived for him, and we today can learn much from him. Titus was Paul's brother in Christ. Titus was Paul's partner and co-worker. Titus genuinely cared about his fellow believers. Titus mirrored Paul in his convictions and actions. Titus gave and received spiritual blessings. This morning, I encourage us to follow in the footsteps of Titus, to identify with him, to follow his good example. And in the weeks ahead, as we study Paul's letter to Titus, we have much to learn. We have much to be challenged with. May God use his word, not only today, but in the weeks to come.